Ladies and gentlemen, August 2nd, 1985. On that date, I was never so proud of so many of my fellow Texans, nor so ashamed of a few of them. On that date, Delta Flight 191 came crashing down to Earth on approach to DFW International Airport. The technical explanation for this accident was microburst wind shear. An easier way to understand what happened is to imagine a giant, invisible sledgehammer that came flying through the sky and nailed that plane to the ground. Almost everyone on board died, but the officials didn't know that immediately, and the call came out on radio and television for blood donors. I had donated a week before this accident and was ineligible to donate, but I was curious and wanted to know how things were being handled, so I drove by the county hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, I was absolutely amazed. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people lined up and waited for hours to give blood to people they didn't even know and probably would never meet, to strangers in pain. Those people in line were the Texans I was so proud of. There were a couple of people at a service station charging ridiculous rates for the volunteers to park conveniently. Those were the people I was so ashamed of. Unfortunately, there's always a few people trying to take advantage of any bad situation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's tragedy on a grand scale, the kind that makes the national news headlines. But disaster happens much more often in lonely, isolated pockets. Allow me to illustrate. On an average day, well over 1,000 people die from cancer in this country. It's a horrible disease. I know my mother died from it. On an average day, about 2,000 people die from heart disease in the United States, and thousands more die from all sorts of other causes on an average day. On an average day, almost 4,000 people fall victim to violent crimes in America. Rape, robbery, murder, aggravated assault, carjackings, home invasions, you name it. Point number one. Ladies and gentlemen, we are surrounded in a sea of suffering. But there's much more to my story than simply that. Let me give you a few examples of a heartbreaking fact of life in this country. I know a lady who's been married to the same man for over 50 years, yet never once has he given her any flowers. It's not that he doesn't care for her. It's exactly the opposite. He loves her very deeply. He just doesn't understand how much this simple act would mean to her. And he's not alone. All too many people don't know how to express their feelings to those who are so important to them in their lives. I know of a young man who couldn't even bring himself to tell his own mother that he loved her on her deathbed. That's how bad it is. Point number two. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society that shuns the open display of such basic human emotions as love and sorrow and grief. Only in certain select venues, such as funeral homes and hospital rooms, is it permissible to show how much suffering we hide inside. But there's an icing to this cake of pain, and let me give you one more story to demonstrate how critical it is. Not too long ago, a friend of mine sent me a video as an email attachment. As it begins, you wonder why it was ever sent. It's a video from a real-time traffic camera in a quiet neighborhood where just about anyone would probably love to live. Traffic is flowing lazily and lawfully through the intersection. A few seconds into the video, a pedestrian who has waited her turn starts to walk across the street. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a speeding car comes into the scene, running a red light and crashing into a vehicle already in the intersection. Both autos roll over the pedestrian, killing her instantly. In a fraction of a second, a human life was lost. Point number three, ladies and gentlemen, we never know how much time we have on this earth. It could be gone by the time we blink our eyes. Challenge number one. Tell those people you care about how much they mean to you. Show them every day in every way you can how important they are to you. You may never get another chance. You probably will, but so what? You haven't wasted your time. You will have only made a good relationship that much better. Now let me give you another example to explain my next challenge to you. The story I'm about to tell you is just one example of many similar ones from my life and the lives of quite a few people I know. At my present place of employment, when I first started work, there was a lady who was very rude to me, but I kept being nice to her, wishing her a good morning when I first saw her. I was smiling warmly at her. Eventually, she began to soften. Now she's one of my closest associates at work. She gives me a sweet hug each morning, and it makes my day. Challenge number two, be nice to the people who are mean to you. It may not change them, but responding the same way they treat you will only make matters worse. You cannot change a human heart in a positive direction through hate. If you can handle those two challenges, and they are not easy ones at all, then you are ready for the bonus round. Get ready for the hardest challenge of all. It makes perfect sense to let those people you care about know how you feel, and you can see that you may be able to change those who cause problems for you by being kind to them. But what about those people who don't interact in your life at all? To all those strangers in pain who surround you, what have you got to gain from doing anything for them? Well, you might make a new friend, but you probably won't. You'll probably never see them again. But I believe there's some sort of cosmic bank in this universe. You make a deposit every time you help someone that you don't know. And when you become a stranger in pain, it will come back to you many times over. This is a law much stronger than even the law of gravity. What goes around truly does come around. But even if that were not the case, doing good for people you don't know will give you a great feeling inside. It's like the Energizer Bunny of joy. It keeps giving and giving and giving you a warm feeling all day long. I've given over 4 gallons of blood during my life, and trust me, I would much rather be on the giving side than on the receiving side. It is always better to give than it is to receive. You have a choice to make in life. You can be like all those people who lined up to donate blood for those victims on Flight 191, or you can be like those greedy people charging too much for parking places, or you can do nothing at all. But remember, one day you will also be a stranger in pain. And on that day, if you have not responded to strangers in pain when they needed it, what right have you to expect anything from others? Today, I am offering you the opportunity of a lifetime, and it won't even cost you a single penny. Here's all you have to do. The next time you encounter someone you perceive to be a stranger in pain, offer them a kind smile, a warm handshake, an understanding glance, an open mind, a compassionate heart, a comforting word, a listening ear, and a friendly hug. You have no idea how much these simple things will do to lift the spirits of someone who has been beaten down to earth by a microburst of human despair. It may be the one thing that keeps them from taking the easy way out of their problems. The poets have told us these truths for centuries. No one is an island. Do not ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for you and it tolls for me. But we have failed to heed the call. However, there is hope. Another great thinker by the name of Victor Hugo let us know that there is no force on this earth powerful enough to stop an idea whose time has finally arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, we all live on the same planet. We all drink the same water. We all breathe the same air. We all share a common DNA. Isn't it time that we started to get to know one another and stopped being strangers in pain?